My voice. So hope every one of you can receive the sound clearly. So before I start, shall we bow our head and look to the Lord? Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for this privilege. We open the Bible and study your word. May we all have a humble heart to receive the light, to receive the truth. May we all truly say, Lord, I want to carry the cross and follow you. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to use this half an hour to share some of my thoughts on Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 21 to 27. This morning I want to share the thoughts over seven verses and 7 points. Briefly, 1 point, 1 verse, verse 21 to 27. Yeah. Before I start, I want to ask a question. Probably all of you will say yes. Do you love God? Yeah. Do you want to be in the God's love? Yes, right. Interestingly, both how we can say I love God, how we can say I want to dwell in the love of God. The answer for both questions is the same. Keep his word, right? John 14, 23 said, if anyone, I just read for you, no need for you to turn over there. John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And John 15 and verse 10 said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So if I say, Lord, I love you, if I say, Lord, I want to be in your love, the answer for both questions are the same, keep his commandments, keep his love. So basically this is a ultimate question in our sanctification life. How can I say, Lord, I keep your word and keep your commandment? So in this story, Matthew 16, we see a very good example that how in our life after we are saved, how we just meet kind of obstacle, how God lead and guide us in our sanctification life to obey his word. So let's back to Matthew 16 and 21. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. So in this verse 21, I want to highlight or underline a key word, must. He must go to Jerusalem. So when we read four Gospels, we read really, really a lot of wonderful things from Lord Jesus. He healed the leper. He raised up the dead, he preached to the poor. But if we say, okay, let me rule out all the other things, only one left, all of us will agree that cross, only the cross, right? So Lord Jesus, although he was doing all kinds of good things, if we write all of these good things out, I believe this house cannot fill too much, but in his heart, only one direction, Jerusalem. He's always facing Jerusalem. But interestingly, in Jerusalem, we have two kinds of things. One is the headquarters of religion. One is cross. Lord Jesus was facing cross in his ministry. So that's why he said, it's a must. After the must, he lists all these things: cross, sufferings, yeah, and be killed. So sometimes we may say, okay, Lord, how can I understand your truth? When we neglect this must, we may get confused when the circumstances started to be against us. And in verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And in this verse, I want to highlight one word, rebuke. Okay, underline this word, rebuke. Well, if we say rebuke, we always think about, Lord Jesus, rebuke me. That's fair. That's what I deserve. But here you see, Peter rebuked the Lord. What did this tell us? Peter is just like myself. You know, I tend to agree with Lord for many, many things until I see cross. I say no. No, my Lord. All the others we can discuss. I agree. That's fair. That's what I like. Yeah. Cross? No cross. In our nature, the most resistance comes from the cross. When we see the cross, by nature we will say no. To a level, we even rebuke the Lord. Yeah. I'm not sure about all of your experience, but my personal sanctification experience so far, every time when I attempt to argue with Lord or even complain to him, every time is the time of cross, the time of suffering. I said, well, this is not something I like. I should talk to you, Lord. I think maybe you have other choice, right? You can do the circumstances the other way. Why must cross? Why? And even to a level, Peter rebuked him. Verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Okay, this verse, I want to highlight a word, offense. Offense to the Lord. We even started the word from "get behind me, Satan." Okay, we are all very familiar, at least, with these four Gospels, right? In the four Gospels, we understand that disciples did a lot of dumb things. Let me use this dumb things. For example, one time, John and another disciple, when they passed through a Samaritan village, and the village did not receive them, what did they say? "Lord, let's call the fire down and burn them." It's really dumb, right? And on the other time, when some children came to the Lord, the disciples, no, stop them. And another time, when the Lord talked about cross, what they are talking about was what? Who can sit on your left? Who can sit on your right? They argued who is more senior among these 12. These are not very pleasing. These are just show our failure. But none of this time, Lord Jesus said, "Satan, get behind me." None of this time, Lord Jesus said, "You are offense to me." Why is that? Because cross is the fundamental question, foundational question in our sanctification life. when we say no to the cross, just like Peter, we just put us in a situation, even become offense to the Lord himself. Okay, 24, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, this key word is his cross. His cross. I changed his to mine. That's a more simple, right? It's a, his cross means my cross, right? My cross. Now, in the first three verses, we're talking about God's cross, Jesus' cross. Starting from 24, Jesus told us, well, if you want to follow me, here you go, you have your cross to carry. And deny yourself and let him, means let me deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. Well, this is a very clear command, very clear. Sometimes we, when we read Bible, we tend to skip some verses that that's offense to me, that's cause me uncomfortable, and I'm not on purpose. I just want to read the following verses. This bit of like the other day when I talked to some boys, I said, for how many times when your mom's dinner was ready, they should call you, come down to have dinner. Did any one of you, when your mom called, come to the dining room once and you come to eat the dinner? None of them say yes, no. The one boy said, well, when I go there, my mom's dinner actually was not ready yet. I said, no, because you always delay. So your mom so love you, so he need to call you beforehand. So she knows that you will come late. God knows that we tend to neglect some very clear command like this. Very clear. There's no option, no condition. He said, so long as you said you want to come after me, you deny yourself and carry your cross. And in the past three verses, what's the meaning of the carrying cross clearly showed us. So we can think about that. If we know this verse, we know that the servant cannot be above the master. The student cannot be above the teacher. If the teacher, if the master carried his cross, and not for his sin, for my sin, how come I say, okay, I'm his servant, I'm his student, but actually, I don't have any cross to carry? This is this makes no sense, right? Yeah. So we all said, I love you, Lord. We all said, Lord, I want to be in your love. But the reality is, this is something for us also a must. Okay, move on to 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, this key word too. Lose it, find it. Lose it, find it. This is a choice. I find it interesting. Same in the Bible. Anytime when the Lord said, whoever, you know what? He put the responsibility of choice to us. Look at the verse on my back. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever believes in him. But whoever do not believe in him, what? Will perish, right? Whoever means what's your choice? Find it or lose it. Life or death? Cross or no cross? That's our choice. So the Lord in the passage, verse 24, he said, let him deny himself. Let him. Let's let myself. Let me do this. And then in 25, I'm facing two choices. I lose it or I find it. In verse 26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In this verse, keyword is the whole world. The whole world. Okay, let me say, I want to make a right choice. I want to find it. What's the major obstacle to this? The whole world, right? There's another interesting thing in the Bible is, Bible always link the cross when it want to illustrate meaning of cross to the world. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, 14. Galatians 6 and 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. So either I myself was on the cross, and I separated from the world, or either I nailed the world to the cross, I myself also separated from the world. So the world is always the opposite side of the cross. And John 6, Book of John, chapter 6, and verse 66. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Here we see, after these five loaves, two fishes, a lot of people said, okay, finally I find my Lord, because he can feed me all the time miraculously. No sufferings and no work in the farm. It's beautiful. And they rushed to follow the Lord. And the Lord talked to them about the heavenly manna. That's himself. That's his flesh, his blood. And all these people said, wow, that's just totally not my expectation. I don't want to follow him. So when you look at the Lord through a worldly angle, finally we'll do the same thing as those majority people in John 6. What did they do? They walk with him no more. What a tragedy. But what Peter answered, he said, you have the words of eternal life. Word of eternal life means this is not words of worldly life. This is a choice. We cannot reconcile between these two. The world is enemy of eternal life. The eternal life is enemy of the world. So that's the obstacle. That's our enemy. When we say, okay, I make the choice. I know whoever this world was. I know that either find it or lose it. I want to find it. Good. Perfect. Who is your enemy? The whole world. Only we decide to say, okay, Lord, I abandon this whole world and I choose you. You know what? The cross will be our blessing. So verse 27, okay. Back to Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Okay, what's the major driver or energy in us when we face the cross? That's the hope of eternity. We cannot find any solution in the current sufferings until I said, Lord, the solution is I have eternal hope. The only thing I can do is endurance, right? Endurance is something that God wants to teach us on the cross, on the suffering. So that's in this verse. I want to highlight two words. One is glory and one is reward. Glory and reward. Glory means finally he will come back and receive us to him. We just read, Brother Josh led us to read this John 14, first several verses. He prepared a place for us, and he will come back to receive us and come back in glory. Glory. Glory is our hope. No current cross. No current sufferings. And you know what? After his glory coming back, we'll have reward. That's the big one. That's a new start. He will reward us according to our endurance on the earth. So when we look back for all these verses, we start from a must, and then we said no. We even said no to a level rebuking, and he told me, this is so important. Could be even offense to him. And he clearly told us the command, it's my cross. And I face a choice of find it or lose the life. And I need to be clearly in one point, say no to the world and say yes to the Lord. And finally, I will see the glory. And in the new start, we'll have the reward from him. Hebrew 12. Hebrew 12, verse 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Even our Lord, he showed us a very good example that how he endured the cross. He looked beyond the cross on the future, all the joys with us, with his sons and daughters set before him. This morning, one thought gave me a good impression. This is just the rest. But how about his death? That's the real death. So our Lord is so good. He bear the true things. He just gave us some little one, light one to carry. And when we really say, okay, I want to endure, we find actually the burden still carried by him. He just needs our heart. But here, this good example is how we can, in my cross, in my sufferings, how we can keep the joyful heart. The only one is that I look beyond this sufferings. I just look up above the cloud, because under the cloud is darkness, above the cloud is sunshine. It's not easy, brothers and sisters. I totally agree. Yesterday night, a sister in China sent a message to my wife and myself. She's a faithful sister, and she opened her home for a little house church.
Yeah.
But really a lot of sufferings. Really. Not because of her sins, just sufferings, one after one. And she sent a message to us. What's the problem? Why one after one? And I said, I don't know why. I can only tell you who he is. So I sent this Hebrews 12:2-3 to her. We need to be brave. If you are a divorced sister, to raise up your children alone. We need you to be brave if you want to service the Lord. We need you to be brave if you want to say, okay, I don't want to sin against my Lord in my career. You know what? We even need to be brave to get old. I ever pray for my health needs sometimes. And somehow, Lord, make me understand I cannot have too much expectation on my body. Because this is an old car. This somehow, just like the car of my dear brother Harold. The only way is to replace it. You cannot just repair it. The car is getting old. So I said, Lord, I understand. I know that. Thank you for just ease my pain a little bit, and I will continue. I'll just put aside this noise. We have all kinds of circumstances, but the lesson is the same. In my life, how can I carry my cross? The only way is look beyond. Don't look my body now. This body, the destination is grave. Look beyond that body. Look to him. Look to the glory and the reward. And last Friday, Brother Sebastian picked a very good song for the boys and girls. And the name of the song is When the Roll is Caught Up Yonder. I will be there, right? We are all on that list. And when our Lord called up your name, he said, I'm here, but not now on that show. Not now, but when the trumpet sounds, when you hear the last trumpet. Another very beautiful hymn sing like this. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. One day, all of us will meet over there and shout the victory. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so thankful again for this wonderful truth. Although in my flesh nature, I may say yes. But when we see the light, we say, Lord, I decided to find the life, not lose the life. I decided to nail the cross, nail the world to the cross. Lord, I decided to look up to the future, to that bright day we all gathered around you and shout the victory. Bless us, strengthen us in our current circumstances. We pray in Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.